This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
For many parents, giving a child their first phone feels like a major milestone, but also a bit of a minefield. Between Instagram stories, TikTok trends, online gaming, and concerns around screen time and safety, it can be hard to know what the right age actually is. Research commissioned by AIR found that children in Ireland are now getting their first mobile phone at an average age of just 9 years old, despite many parents saying they'd prefer to wait until their children are 12 or 13. So how young is too young? What impact can smartphones have on children's development? And how can parents protect kids from online dangers like grooming and harmful content while still allowing them some independence? Well, joining me now is Alwyn Moore from Cogni Kids. Alwyn, welcome back to the show. Parents and guardians seem to be under huge pressure now when it comes to giving kids phones. Has it become harder than ever to know what the right decision is?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it really is. Like, there's a huge amount of pressure. And to be honest, I don't envy parents navigating that kind of decision at all. You know, the pressure is real. We have no roadmap for how to handle this realistically. You know, no other generation did this or had to kind of navigate this really before our generation. So, you know, I suppose even if a parent is already asking the question about, you know, how do I know when to give it to, when to give a phone to my child, that's already a win because it means that you're really kind of tuning in to are they ready as a child. You're really trying to figure that out and you're a thoughtful parent. So I would always say don't be shamed also either way. You know, don't feel that you have to give the phone just because everybody is doing it. And I know around now with the confirmations, the phone is always a big thing. And, you know, that's not a reason to buckle under the pressure and give your child a phone just because everybody else is doing it. You really kind of tap in to A, do your research and figure it out. And we'll talk through a few things now and maybe that'll help you kind of frame it as well. And then you make the decision intentionally what's right for you, your child and your family. That's the best kind of advice that I could give around that.
Is there a right age for this, for a child to get their first smartphone, or is it more about emotional maturity as well?
21. No, I'm joking.
People would love to hear that this evening, Alwyn.
Yeah. Yes, when they move out of your house, that's the perfect age to give them a phone. So there's a couple of schools of thought around this one. And, you know, as I alluded to there, just answering your previous question, they're really, you know, like, it depends on who you're talking to. The right answer is what's right for you and in your family. Kind of neurologically, so that's your child's brain. There is actually a right age, and 12 or 13 is not it. Ideally, if you can delay phone access until around the age of 15 or 16, believe it or not, that is a better age for our children to have their brains a little bit more developed, because we forget that our 12-year-olds, you know, like, they are so competent and they are so confident, which is fantastic. So we forget sometimes that they're not actually able to navigate, you know, all the things that they will be exposed to online. They really aren't. And it's unfair of us as parents to actually expect them to be able to navigate that themselves. So, you know, think about that, number one. Number two, think about the emotional maturity of your child. You know, that's really important around how does your child kind of manage disappointments in the general day to day. Are they old enough to understand that not everything they see online is true? You know, are they a young 12 or 13 year old where they're quite vulnerable and they would believe anything, you know, like black is blue kind of thing? Or are they a bit more emotionally intelligent and a bit more socially savvy? And also then a really key thing as a parent is ask yourself, if something upsets them online, will they actually come to me? That's the key thing there. They really matter more than an actual age. So, you know, it's like, have you fostered an open kind of conversation with your children Do they feel that they can come to you generically, randomly? Do they come if, you know, they're having a difficulty with somebody maybe on the road or in school or, you know, on their football team or whatever? And always then remember that that kind of tween age, which is generally when parents nowadays seem to be navigating, do I give them a phone or don't I? That tween age, our children are actually wired neurologically to start to pull away from us as adults, as their parents, and their social world, their peers, become much more important to them than their adults in their life. So you have to really remember that. And their prefrontal cortex, you know, doesn't develop until between 23 and 25. And the prefrontal cortex helps with impulse control and judgment and things like that. So, yeah. So anyway, easy.
There's so much to that. There really is. Like, do you know what you were saying there about judging your child's emotional maturity and how they react to things and stuff like that? Gosh, like what a minefield, because you can meet 12-year-olds who seem like adults, like they're so mature, and but then in other ways they can be a young 12-year-old. Oh God, an absolute mess. Are you seeing more issues around anxiety and attention spans, or even issues with sleep kind of things linked with smartphone use in younger children nowadays?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Check, check and check. Those three things, there's huge. I mean, they're designed to increase anxiety, increase sleep problems, and then emotional kind of dysregulation. Yes, there really is. And, you know, it's just kids struggle. They really do struggle. They struggle with big emotional kind of reactions when their devices are taken away. You know, they struggle to manage their screen time. They struggle to understand their social world. And, you know, they really feed into the likes and go, literally going back to what I was saying to you there about, you know, at that tween age, they're very much connected to their peers. So if they don't get enough likes, they take that personally. And, you know, it makes them very, I suppose, vulnerable. Like they are hugely vulnerable. Anxiety tied to, you know, that relentless kind of social comparison, that fear of missing out. And I always say, you know, kind of like comparison is the thief of joy. But that is what the social media and phones and WhatsApp groups and things like that actually kind of force down our children's throats, are, you know, kind of the FOMO feeling and things like that. So, yeah, and I suppose remembering that, you know, identity is so fragile at this age too. But yeah, sorry, I didn't touch on the sleep. Apologies. Yes,
no, and our sleep. You've touched on so much there, and I can see how all that, it would obviously have a knock-on impact on sleep as well, all of that.
Oh my God, absolutely. Yeah, totally. And, you know, that really just kind of, I mean, we know ourselves, if we're sleep deprived, we're not in the best form the next day, but we can identify that. And we know, you know, God, I need to get a better night's sleep. Our kids, when they are continually sleep deprived, that really does cascade into their moods. It affects their concentration and it affects their ability to be able to emotionally regulate. So to really think clearly about kind of the bigger picture stuff. So they're so much more kind of like, I always say they're much more prickly and they're so much more sensitive. Yeah. None of these are coincidences. Yeah.
Even what you mentioned there a couple of moments ago about that relentless comparison and the FOMO you'll feel when you're online and you're seeing what all your peers are doing. You can be very isolated as a teenager because your main peers will be people that you're in school with. And if you see all of them having a good time, you will feel excluded. I do remember that from my youth. Now, as an adult, it's not great, the comparison. So as a child, I can see it would be way more prickly. On a more sinister note, I know online grooming, obviously one of the biggest fears for parents and guardians out there. Can you explain how that can sometimes, like how that actually happens and why children can be especially vulnerable to that type of crime?
Yeah, absolutely. Like sadly, it links directly to what you were just saying there about feelings of loneliness. So a groomer really thrives on that. And if we've allowed our children to kind of, you know, retreat into an online world too early, they do feel that sense of loneliness. They don't have their peers around as much. It doesn't matter if they're in school. You know, sometimes parents are like, oh, but they're in school. They see their friends. That's not the same thing. You're busy when you're in school. It's when you're outside school. That's the really important kind of connection time. So they do have that sense of loneliness and isolation. Groomers love that. It's a gradual process. And, you know, I suppose parents have one perceived idea of what grooming might look like. You know, it's where somebody like spams an inbox and that's it straight away. But actually, it's, like I said, such a gradual process. It begins with giving the child a little bit of attention, making them feel special and understood and heard and, you know, kind of like, and that's exactly what our children, when they're feeling lonely and isolated, are looking for. So they know exactly what they're doing. They build then that trust with your child really slowly. And in doing that, I suppose they kind of, you know, they normalize boundary crossing one tiny step at a time. So it's so gradual and it's just so sinister. So then, you know, kind of like our children at those ages are wired to seek approval and connection. So of course they're falling into the trap. And, you know, it's just like, you know, the online groomer is completely anonymous. They are available 24/7. And they can be in your child's bedroom and you don't even know it. So, you know, it really is just look out for that, you know.
What are the warning signs for that, Alwyn, that this might be happening for a child? How can you identify some of those signs?
Yeah. So if your child becomes secretive about their phone, you know, if they switch screens when you kind of maybe appear in the kitchen beside them or when you pop into their bedroom or something like that. If they become upset or distressed after being online, but won't say why. So you notice a change in their behavior, in their emotional behavior, not just in secretive how they're using their phones, but in the emotional side. If they start to get unexplained gifts or money, so this can happen. If they mention then, you know, some kind of generic friend, maybe they don't give a name, but it'd be like, my friend was telling me this, or, you know, that kind of thing. Or a person that I was talking to recently said something like that. So they're kind of secretive about the person. And then if they withdraw from family and existing friends too. So, you know, it's basically fear they have. You get that gut feeling in your stomach. Their behavior has changed. They really don't want you to see their phone. And if you're connecting all those things, trust your instinct and definitely intervene. But also, you know, there's a couple of other kind of things, like, I don't know if you've heard of The Calm, which is another site. It's like horrendous. It's being investigated by Interpol and all that. But, you know, it's very similar grooming, but it's using peer-to-peer grooming too. So it's not just, you know, kind of like we all have a picture of what a groomer looks like. And it's generally an untowardly man of a particular age and so on. But that's not the case now. Like, grooming is changing and it's also peer-to-peer as well. So, you know, kind of, I suppose one of the big things I would always say for parents would be to replace stranger danger with peer coercion awareness. So that means that the threat is actually closer than we think. You have this conversation without kind of panicking your child, but it has to be had in reality and age appropriate conversations, particularly if they have access to a phone that is their own. And then, you know, like I always suggest to parents that you give a script to your child. You need to give them a toolkit to help them get out of any situation that they have accidentally got into, because most of the time it happens initially purely by accident or out of curiosity. So we need to help them come back to us. So, you know, the one thing I always say is, if you say to your child, look, if anyone asks you to do anything, to hurt yourself, to hurt others, to send a photo, to do something that doesn't make your tummy feel good or that makes you feel not okay, what you do is you pause close your device or turn it off and come find me. And so that's a really important thing, that your child feels that they can come and talk to you, because these do exist. And then you offer them, you know, if they're a slightly older teen, you can offer them that face-saving exit. So, you know, kind of like, blame me, I'll back you up, and say, you know, sorry, my mom says I have to go now, or that kind of thing. Yeah. And then the most important thing is never punish first disclosure. So the first time your child comes to you with something like that, you definitely don't kind of punish, going, what? So our immediate is like, oh my God, what are you doing? Why are you interacting like that? And, you know, never do that, because then it's blocking them from coming the next time. So, you know, kind of stay open, stay curious, and open that conversation with them. Yeah, well, sorry, I kind of went off on a tangent there.
Not at all. Really important tools that you mentioned there at the end, which I was going to ask you about anyways, Alwyn, and I really appreciate you coming on this evening and chatting with us all about this. I am sure we will chat to you again on iRadio's group chat. In the meantime, where can we find Cogni Kids online?
You can find us on Instagram at CogniKids_ and you can find us at CogniKids.com.
Amazing. Alwyn, thank you so much for joining me on the show.
Thanks a million.
This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.